When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, so that they should appear to men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will render it to thee. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as those who are of the nations, for they think they shall be heard through their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knows of what things ye have need before ye beg anything of him. Thus therefore pray ye, Our Father who art in the heavens, let thy name be sanctified, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done as in heaven so upon the earth. Give us today our needed bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but save us from evil. For if ye forgive men their offences, your heavenly Father also will forgive you yours. But if ye do not forgive men their offences, neither will your Father forgive your offences. Book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, chapter 6, Daniel 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his upper chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. But those men came in a body, found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 4. Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us also, that God may open to us a door of the word to speak the mystery of Christ, on account of which also I am bound, to the end that I may speak it, make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, the bondman of Christ Jesus, salutes you, always combating earnestly for you in prayers, to the end that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Finally, the Epistle of James. Epistle of James in chapter 5, verse 17. James 5, verse 17. Elias was a man of like passions to us, and he prayed with prayer that it should not rain. And it did not rain upon the earth 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth caused its fruit to spring forth. My brethren, if anyone among you err from the truth, and one bring him back, let him know that he that brings back a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall cover a multitude of sin. These scriptures speak of a very simple thought, and yet I think a very necessary thought, that is prayer. The Lord at one point said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. And I believe the two, dear brethren, go together. Otherwise the Lord wouldn't have put them together. I'm thinking particularly of prayer tonight. We may touch on fasting. We'll see how the Lord might indicate. We've sung of prayer and fasting. Who was the first one who prayed in Scripture? Well, it's Abraham. He's a prophet and he'll pray for you. Abraham was marked by prayer, and he wanted a son and he prayed. Supremely, the Lord was marked by prayer, wasn't he? Supremely. So if you want a pattern, if you want a model, if you want a guide, Luke's Gospel, I think 8 occasions he prayed. We've already had it this afternoon. He looked up to heaven and blessed. Think of Jesus doing that. The blessed man. There was what he did in public, and it was what he did in private. Think of a man who could spend a whole night in prayer. then come down and deal with the conditions in which he was. We may feel our conditions are difficult, but his conditions were supremely difficult. One difference is that we get so accustomed to failure and breakdown and sin because of what we are. You think of his blessed feelings as he came down and moved amongst men. Feelings of the Lord. And he knows, dear brethren, just our feelings as we seek to do what is right and seek to be in the pathway of his will. He knows our feelings. Touch with the sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sorest trials mean. He has felt the same. We get in one psalm, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. What was that prayer in relation to? Psalm 72. It was in relation to Solomon. And he goes out, as I trust we shall go out, in a note of victory and triumph. It's a long psalm, it's a long prayer, but it was a prayer of experience, a prayer to a God whom David had proved. That's one of the things about prayer. We pray to one we know, we pray to one we proved, and we pray to one who has committed himself to see his people through. We can pray to the Father. He knows all about us. We can pray to the Lord. He knows all about us. We can pray to the Spirit. So that's, we can pray to divine persons. Psalm 90 is a prayer of a man of God, Moses. Interesting, the book of the Psalms there, that book starts with that prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now, if you want to develop, dear brother or sister, in manhood, then take up prayer. Paul speaks of his prayers. Indeed, the Spirit of God draws attention that one of the immediate results of the gospel, behold, he prayeth. Now, that's a good example, isn't it, for each one of us. Behold, he prayeth. What a change in a man. One insolent and overbearing, insolent and a blasphemer, persecutor of the saints, now blessed. Behold, he prayeth. What does prayer bring out? Prayer brings out dependence. Prayer brings out spirit of humility. What does prayer bring in? Prayer brings in divine help. And if there's anything you and I need, speak feelingly and simply, it's divine help. So the Lord, Sermon on the Mount, what elevation there was in Matthew's Gospel, wasn't there? Sermon on the Mount. When ye pray. You may say, well, it's a bit searching, isn't it? Well, I usually find that the words of the Lord are searching. When ye pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, so that they should appear to men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They get their reward. We're not looking for that reward, public acclamation. We're looking for divine reward. It says here, thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret will render it to thee. There's one thing about prayer, I don't think anyone can stop you praying. That's a comfort, isn't it? They might take the Bible away from us and forbid us to read it. They might shut us up into prison for the testimony. They can't stop us praying. Prayer, dear brethren, is a link with divine persons. Indeed, it speaks in the Scripture about praying in the Holy Spirit. And I think as we enter into our chamber, be definite. You've got exercises, you've got desires, you've got something which you don't know the answer about. Enter into thy chamber, shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret, thy Father who sees in secret. Will reward thee, show it to thee. It's been well said that where a man has been in secret in the presence of God comes out in his public prayer. That's testing for every one of us, isn't it? We pray on Monday night, or Tuesday maybe in some circumstances, or Wednesday maybe in certain circumstances. Monday night, the powerhouse. And where what we are in secret comes out in public. But don't let us stop praying. How do you start the day? How do you finish the day? Let's be practical. We need to pray, dear brethren. And God will give the answer. There's a definiteness in this. Enter into thy closet. When thou prayest, enter into thy chamber, and having shut thy door, shut thy door. One of the problems in life is to keep out a multitude of things which flood into the mind. And you want to be, even in the morning meeting, how often things come into your mind. Certainly when you seek to be alone with God. Cares and troubles and trials flood into your mind, or they do into mine anyhow, and I don't think I'm all that different from most of us. So flood into our mind. Shut thy door. Oh, be definite. Who will help you shut the door? The Spirit will help you shut the door. So that you might be occupied with the Father. Ah, what a blessed name it is, a Father. Abraham couldn't pray to God as Father. Moses couldn't pray to God as Father. And David couldn't pray to God as Father. But you and I can pray to God as Father, because it's the name that Father has been pleased to reveal himself. Jesus has made him known as Father. Think of how those blessed words, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. My Father. Pray to thy Father in secret. And thy Father, who sees in secret, will render it to thee. Ah, it's a blessed thing, dear brethren, to have quiet assurance and confidence in a God who's not only marked us out in sovereignty like the fish of the ocean to take us up for blessing, but he's put his Spirit within us that we might have a link with himself as Father and prove it practically day by day in the difficulties of the circumstances. Think of matters of employment. Young people want a suitable job. Go into your chamber, shut your door, pray to your Father in secret. Take it to him. Is this too simple? Well, it's practical anyhow. Take it to him. Domestic matters, go in to the Father. Shut your door. Take it to him. Just spread it out before him. Well, he knows what you've need of before you ask, but he likes to hear you ask. What father is there that doesn't like to have communications with his children? Our Heavenly Father delights to have communications with his children. We receive from him, and he receiving from us, the petitions and the outgoings of our souls. And I believe, dear brethren, that as these things are taken up simply and practically, you'll find that manhood will develop and known links with divine persons will be strengthened. And what you've proved in the glad tidings for blessing, you'll prove practically in the daily matters of life. So that you might well say, we have an anchor. Anchor in Christ, but an anchor in our links with the Father. So we go on for blessing. So an interesting comment that there was provision in the ark for cells, and there was provision in Solomon's house and in Ezekiel's house for chambers. And I believe that whilst what is collective is maintained, the strength of what is collective depends to a large extent upon my individual links and your individual links with divine persons. So that we're not here as theorists, we're here as persons who prove divine help day by day in the very details of life. And to, in the greater matters of life which regard the testimony, which relate to the testimony down here. So I read about Daniel. Well, I have perhaps I should say something about the Lord's Prayer. I don't think it was the Lord's Prayer. I think the Lord's Prayer was John 17. Not that I'm saying this wasn't what the Lord said on, but I think the greatest prayer of the Lord's was John 17. If you agree with me, you can think about it. If you don't agree with me, you can think about it too. You think of that, Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven, saying, Father, and that a blessed touch. You think of what was before him. We think of what's before us, but think of what was before him. Think of how those chapters 14, 15, 16, when he thought for us down here, given assurance of that other comforter, and then lifts up his eyes to heaven and says, Father. You think of heaven receiving that precious impression, Jesus, a man on earth, lifting up his eyes to heaven and saying, Father. What a spirit of thanksgiving there was in the Lord's communications with his Father. And dear brethren, it widened out to include us, not only the apostles, but the men whom they has given me out of the world. And then those who shall believe on me through their testimony. And then you think of it, that they may be one as we are one. You think of the way he spoke of righteous Father, holy Father. Ah, how he knew how to speak to God. What a example it is to us to know how to speak to God suitably, with dignity, reverence and godly fear. But Daniel was in a difficult day. The Lord's day, which we refer to in John's Gospel, was more difficult than our day. Everything was against him down here. And Daniel's day was difficult. As a man in a band said they could only fault him in things relating to God. And what does Daniel do? The decree is signed. He goes into his upper chamber. That's interesting, isn't it? Upper chamber. You might think that Luke was writing it. A little bit, Luke's very particular as to detail. But this is the upper chamber. They say, well, there are various grades of petitions, aren't there? There's my personal petitions, there's my domestic petitions, there's my local petitions, and then there's the universal scope of petitions. It says here, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his upper chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. This wasn't something just put on for the occasion. This was his custom. There are good customs in Scripture, and one of the good customs is to pray. Daniel was following a good custom. He was praying in regard to Jerusalem. Where was Jerusalem? What could you see publicly? Think of the testimony today. Broken, scattered, but it's there. Assembly is the complete thought. Every time we look at the loaf at the supper, we know the truth of the one body. Nothing can break it down. Lord said, didn't he, on this rock I will build my assembly, and Hades' gates will not prevail. You may say they're trying, so they are, but they won't prevail. And Daniel looks towards Jerusalem, window open, didn't have to be open for it, window open, 3 times a day. Prayed on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, what's your custom? What's the custom on Monday night? Do you get beyond local problems? Do you look out to the whole universal scope of what God has got upon the earth at the present time, reflecting his own blessed work, which is impregnable and will go through? Hades' gates won't prevail. You may say, oh, they're trying hard. It looks as though Satan's got the upper hand. He's defeated. The Lord did it upon the cross. The work was finished. It is finished. And he went into the grave. And he's come out victorious and triumphant. He was a blessed man who prayed. And even on the cross he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And dear brethren, we're linked with that blessed man on high. Blessed man in the glory. We're better off in that sense than Daniel. Daniel had the light of things. The Lord hadn't come into manhood in Daniel's day. Daniel was a man greatly beloved, a praying man. And he was a fasting man too. Beginning of the book is fasting, isn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. They wouldn't partake of certain things. They had discrimination as to what would help them in the truth. And I believe there's need for that at the present time. You may say, I'd like to go to Spain for a holiday. But you can't break bread if you go to Spain, can you? What example is an older brother to someone who goes off to the Canary Islands or Spain or somewhere like that? Wouldn't a few saints like to see you down in some scattered part? What example? You say there's nothing wrong in it, but are you fasting? Fasting is not ceasing to sin. Fasting is holding back from things which might be lawful. No wrong in them in that sense. Is there any good in them? Would Jesus have done it? So we need just to deny ourselves certain things in view of the testimony. Who came out? Who got their reward? Who was honoured? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, they got into the fire furnace, didn't they? Well, that didn't matter at all, did it? They proved God. One liked them, with them, in the circumstances. Their fasting, they came out fairer and fatter. Their diet was better than the king's delicate food. And they were true overcomers, just like we need to be. We need to be overcomers. We need to be taking pattern from the blessed man who is our pattern and our guide. Daniel wasn't put off by the band of men. Maybe some movement abroad to seek to co-opt everybody in. So it will be. 666, that'll be it. Daniel, he was there, he trusted in God. He didn't worry about the lion's den. God came in and shut the mouths of the lions. There was Daniel in the lion's den. Now dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true and dare to make it known. Can you take comfort from a Daniel? Three times a day, windows open towards Jerusalem. And he prayed. He kneeled too. I think the kneeling would show. Think of Jesus. Think of Jesus in Gethsemane. Kneeling and praying. Doesn't that touch your affections? Does mine? Brings out the blessedness of the man who, perfect model and example for us in all things. In all things. There isn't a thing, dear brethren, which we might be faced with, but he hasn't faced it himself. Ah, what a blessed model. Daniel is in the light of that. His confidence is in God. I think one of the aspects of baptism is that. There is the negative side of baptism. What's put aside. But there is the positive side of baptism. We're committed to the death of Christ. We're committed to the one who's been into death and come out of death victorious and triumphant. We're committed to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's positive. We're baptized to that. Divine help always on behalf of the believer in the testimony down here. Oh, Daniel, what a man he was, greatly beloved. He prospered too. He prospered circumstantially, but he prospered spiritually. Heaven knew their Daniel. What a confidence there was. And I believe features of manhood are needed in our time. And I believe they're found through prayer. Can we prove it a little bit more? From today onwards? I'm not saying from tomorrow, start today. Let us be elevated in our thoughts. Widen out in our thoughts. Might bring in blessing. I thought about Colossians. It's difficult when you think of something like prayer just to know what to read. There's so many examples in Scripture. The Scriptures are full of it. Examples for us. Not examples for those about whom it was written. The Scriptures are written for us. Let's have comfort and encouragement, dear brethren, from the Word. It says in Thessalonians. No, it says in Jude, doesn't it? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. That's a very interesting, isn't it? Keep yourself in the love of God. What does that mean? Are we kept in the love of God day by day? Not if we're doing our own will. We can hardly be kept in the practical enjoyment of the love of God. But it's towards us. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh, these are practical things, dear brethren, aren't they? What would take us out of the love of God? The experience and enjoyment of it. Sin. Disobedience, our own will, take us out of the practical enjoyment of the love of God. Keep ourselves in the love of God so that we know that You know, the lines, the supply lines. That's prayer, supply lines. They're all clear. I was reading the other day about that supply line that stretched across the channel. Pluto, they called it, didn't they? What would have happened if that supply line had been broken in the last war? It would have been a very sorry story, wouldn't it? God's over these things. But what about our supply lines? There is the way of petition. Make our petitions known. David went in and just sat before God. Let God speak to him. That's the supply line, isn't it? Let God speak to you. We can go in and speak to God. And God can speak to us. You may not understand things. Go into the sanctuary and ask. Once a year now. I goes in whenever I like, the old brother said, didn't he? I goes in whenever I like. The way is always open. Access through Christ by one Spirit to the Father. You say, that's Lord's Day morning. No, it isn't. Only. It's practical. You can always go in. Why? Well, the blood's on the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is there. There will I commune with thee. Ah, what blessings there are having a link with Christ. Seeing, dear brethren, that our links with divine persons are kept clear. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us. You think of Paul, pray for us. Philippians, he says, your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul, brother, take up the reading this afternoon. What lies behind it? Prayer. Someone asks you to preach tomorrow. What lies behind it? Prayer. Your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think it's a good thing that there's prayer for the gospel. And prayer not only on the part of the one who's to serve, but prayer on behalf of the saints for the gospel. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, that was 3-day meetings, wasn't it? Supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Philippians. Beautiful. What does it centre around? The man that came down. The man that humbled himself. The man that became obedient even unto death. And that the death of the cross. He was a praying man. Blessed example. Paul says, persevere in prayer. Are you doing that? Given up? I think it's a sad day when any believer gives up praying. You're cutting off your supply lines. God will be faithful. And God will... He that has begun in you a good work will complete it under Jesus Christ day. But there's our practical side. Keep up the praying. Personally. Keep it up in the family too. You may say the children think I'm too long. Well, be wise. Not be heard because of your much speaking. Just be wise. Brief and compact. One of the things I remember about dear Mr. Shorter was his addresses were compact. And his prayers in the home were compact, but they were very real. Dear brethren, we need wisdom as to how we deal with young people. We've been young ourselves, haven't we? There's a fair bit of wisdom used towards us too. We need to use it too. I owe much to a praying mother. And so the sisters are in this too. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. You're watching in it too. And with spirit of thanksgiving. You may say supplications and giving of thanks for all men and for kings. That's in Timothy, isn't it? Paul again, exhorting a young man, wide in your scope, but persevere in it and watch in it for results. Watch in it that God might open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing to superabundance. Praying at the same time for us also, that God may open to us a door of the word to speak the mystery of Christ. That's what the testimony is in view of, dear brethren. The glad tidings and the mystery of the Christ. Don't forget, great truth of the assembly, which through grace we have the light of. May we be expressive of it too. And desire not to hold it in any self-satisfied sort of way, but to hold it for all. As we get the ear, get the opportunity. Don't let's forget to talk about the mystery. It's not a mystery to us. Been revealed in these last days. The book of the Romans ends that. The mystery, doesn't it? Paul's preaching and Paul's glad tidings open up the truth of the mystery. A man in heaven, the Spirit here. And then there's a local brother, isn't there? Combating earnestly in prayer. He wasn't saying his prayers. He was combating earnestly for you in prayers. What lay behind the local position in Colossae was a man who was combating in prayer. Reminds me of the prophet, you know, he put his head between his knees in prayer. Ah, these are forcible expressions, aren't they? Man has a book and he turns up a certain page and he prays. What is there in that? I know it was Churchill said there are times when all pray. But there are times, dear brethren, and these are the times when we need to persevere in prayer and to combat earnestly in prayer. Why? The saints, my local brethren, might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Would you take it on? You've been encouraged this afternoon as to taking up things and being real in things and providing food in things. Well, it's come into this praying line that the local brethren and the district and more generally might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a prayer that was. I bear him witness that he labours much for you and them in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. You know, it wasn't just Taunton. It would embrace Yeovil, it would embrace Tynmouth and Honiton and Barnstable and over in Cardiff too, I trust, not forgetting Bristol. Have the whole area in that sense. Practical, that's what prayer is. It's practical, it's not theory. Put it into expression. Let us all be roused to pray more and to combat more in prayer. Satan might be defeated practically. Now, James is like that. We once read James back in Wallington and a brother said, I hope we can stand it. James is tough. Well, he is. He's tough on pretension. And he's tough on, you know, persons who just make a show of things. He brings in some beautiful touches. Does anyone among you suffer evil? Let him pray. Is any happy? Let him sing psalms. Well, that's the prayer meeting, isn't it? In praying, they were praising God with singing. The prisoners listened to them. Think of that. What a testimony there was. They say stone bars do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Ah, you think of Paul and Silas in prison. Prison didn't affect them, did it? And the bars didn't affect them. And the stripes didn't affect them. It just brought out their hearts. They were praying for the man. They were praying for the man, for the testimony. Who was the man? The jailer. And they were praising God with singing. God came in through an earthquake. Why? To release one man. He's come in an earthquake to release many of us. In bondage and in captivity, we might be brought in to enjoy the fullness and blessedness of Christianity as to what it really is. There was a man, Elias, he lived in a difficult day too. Indeed, I think you find all the way through Scripture from Adam's fall and Eve's fall, it's been difficult all the way, isn't it? And it's difficult now, isn't it? But who's above the difficulties? Well, the Lord's above the difficulties. But his sympathies remain. Why persecutest thou me? What a blessed link that is with a man in the glory and the saints down here. Why persecutest thou me? Elias was a man of like passions to us. He prayed with prayer that it should not rain. He prayed with prayer. What can you get from that, dear brethren? He prayed with prayer. The man, his whole being, his whole soul and his spirit would enter into this petition. The rain ceased for 3.5 years. Think of that prophetically, 3.5 years. And then it rained and it poured, didn't it? Sound of abundance of rain. What arose? Man's hand, you know, small divine intervention. Go and tell Ahab. God is coming in. Let Satan's captives hear the sound. Grace reigns where sin and death abound. The man got in the way, Obadiah, he said, well, if I go and tell Ahab that, you'll disappear. The prophet said, I'll be there. He went and ran and told Ahab, get moving, Ahab. God's coming in blessing. Get moving in the glad tidings, because the Lord is about to come. And the dispensation of grace will finish. Close up. Oh, let it go out in triumph. Let it go out in prayerful triumph. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth caused its fruit to spring forth. Can a little fruit spring forth today from simple occasion in Taunton, as blessed of God, let the earth spring forth, sound of abundance of rain. And then the last two verses, dear brethren, have you read J.T.'s tract on it? Conversion of a sinner. My brethren, if anyone among you are from the truth, one bring him back, let him know that he brings back a sinner, that in the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall cover a multitude of sins. That's the one we have to do with. Let us pray for our erring brethren. Let us pray for our straying ones. Let us pray that they may be brought back. God may grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. I don't mind saying that I was led to this from the preaching last week. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's the Psalms. Let it be our experience. Call upon me in a day of trouble. We're not left to our own resources. We're not left to our own strength. We haven't any. But we've got divine strength available to us. It's always been available to us. Let us draw upon it freshly from today onwards, and may it be for blessing. May the Lord help us in this moment.